number two. I am Mildred Menlo. And with my partner, Ruth Weiner, we are interviewing Mr. Milton Weiss at his home today, February 13th. Right? Mr. Weiss, tell us something about your background.
I was born in Uniontown, Pennsylvania. My family, my father and mother and sisters and brothers, came to Uniontown from Hungary. My parents were born there. Two of my sisters were born there. The rest of the family were born in Uniontown. I had two other brothers and three sisters. I actually had three brothers, two of whom died at an early age. My third brother is Edward Weiss, who lives in Pittsburgh, is actually 2 years older than I am. He lives down in Oakland at the present time with his wife.
Let me ask you, do you know what year your parents came to this country?
No, I don't. What happened was that I believe my father came here first to relatives.
What was your father's name?
Joseph Weiss. He came here from Hungary and stayed with relatives of mine in Uniontown, PA, an aunt and uncle, actually, of mine. And eventually he brought over my mother and the other children who had been born in Hungary.
What was your mother's name?
Her name was Matilda.
Do you know what her maiden name was?
Yes, it was Schwartz. And it's amusing that her name, Schwartz, of course, is black in German. My father's name is Weiss, which is white, which I guess makes me gray. Because if you mix black and white together, you have gray. Okay. I was the last born. I'm the youngest of the family. My mother died when I was 11 months old. So I was brought up by my sisters. My father never remarried. But he kept our home together. Eventually, after a year after I was born, we all moved to Pittsburgh. Occasionally, at the time, because I was an infant, I was taken care of in Uniontown by my aunt and uncle for a period of time until eventually they sent me here to the family.
Where did you live in Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh, we lived on a street called Caldwell Street, which is one street up from Fifth Avenue. It's actually called Uptown. It's not it's on the fringes of the hill, actually. And it was close to Fifth Avenue, and of course I went to schools near there. I went to the Forbes School, graduated the Forbes Elementary School, and then eventually I went to Fifth Avenue High School.
What year were you born?
I was born in 1912, May 17, 1912, which is coming up pretty soon.
Tell me, you have your sister still living?
No.
What were their names?
Their names were, the oldest was Josephine, eventually married. Her married name was Josephine Hauser. She had two children. Two boys who are my living nephews. Another sister was Julia Horlick was her married name. She was married to Peter Horlick, who taught violin in the Pittsburgh Public Schools for many, many years. She had a boy. My nephew, Dale, lives in California. He's an engineer, had gone to Carnegie Tech, and is an excellent engineer, living near San Francisco. The third sister was Rose Meyer, who is no longer living, died a couple of years ago. Her husband is still living, and
what was his name?
She had a boy also, Dan, who lives in Buffalo, New York. My nephews of Josephine, the oldest sister, one lives in Pompano Beach, Florida, and one lives in Cleveland in the family home. One in Florida is married, the other one, the one in Cleveland is not married, living in the family home.
What do you mean by family home? You mean the home that Josephine had lived in?
What?
You mean the home that Josephine had lived in?
Yes, that's right. Josephine and her
husband. What was Josephine's husband's name?
Hugo. What else can I tell you about the family?
Now, you have a close relationship with your family.
I had a very close relationship with my family, and particularly my sister Julia took me, actually took me under her wing, and I guess I became a favorite of hers. We sort of had similar temperaments. She liked to have a good time, and so did I. And not to say that my other siblings didn't, but we were particularly close.
What did your father do?
My father, when he lived in Hungary, I think was a butcher. But when he came to this country, I don't think he went into that. He actually went out to the suburbs and sold items for sale. That is what he actually did. He particularly went to the mining areas and so on. And eventually, of course, my sisters, Julia and Rose, went to work as stenographers, and along with my father, supported the household until I graduated high school. Being the youngest, that was when my home finally broke up, because everybody by then had gone their separate ways.
What was your religious background?
I can frankly tell you that I am not extremely religious. I'm somewhere between, perhaps, I'm really an agnostic. I believe that there is a power that has brought us here, but I do not subscribe to organized religion. My early youth, my father insisted that I learn Hebrew. I went to the Hebrew Institute, tried to learn Hebrew, and I got a smattering of it, but never took to it completely. And he insisted that I be bar mitzvahed, which I was.
Where were you bar mitzvah?
I can't remember the name of the synagogue. Oh, it was Polizetic.
Oh.
And that was up on the hill. That was at that time. So I went through the ceremony primarily to please my father. And since then, I do not attend services particularly. As I said, I just do not subscribe to organized religion.
And your family had no ongoing relationship with the synagogue?
No, not at all.
And as you were growing up, what were your activities?
My activities, of course, as a child, I don't remember too much of my early childhood, just a few fleeting instances, but a very amusing thing happened. I was at an age where, after playing with toys and so on, which we had very few of. We were a poor household. One day I didn't have anything particularly to do. And you know how children get, we get bored and we start whining and saying, but I don't have anything to do. So my sister Julia took the comic strips and handed it to me and said, here, draw this. So I took the comic strip and started to draw it. And I found that I had talent, that I had ability to be able to pick it right up from the comic strip. Well, that was the very start of my interest in art. What happened then was that for around that period of time, I did a lot of reading. I loved the classics, and I went from Caldwell Street, where I lived, I would go clear up to Wiley Avenue, the Wiley Avenue branch of the Carnegie Library. I probably knew every book in the library, and I read quite a few of them, believe me. And on the way, and that's where I would go up through Center Avenue up to Wiley, and I passed the Irene Kaufman Settlement. I never went into the settlement itself because I was intent on going to the library, but I noticed that next to the main building, which was quite a large building of the settlement, there was a little residence set back from a lawn on Center Avenue, and I learned that that was an art school. So I thought, well, one day on my way to the library, I'd go in there just out of curiosity, particularly since, you know, I'd sparked an interest in drawing. I went in, and from then on, I was hooked.
How old were you?
I was 11 years old. I went in, and it was just like going into fantasy land. I mean, there were casts of famous sculptures. There were still life setups. There were students painting and drawing. And I said, this is for me. I'm going to go into this. So I started going to the art school. Of course, the art school was founded by Samuel Rosenberg, the top Pittsburgh artist. And he taught for a while, but eventually, after he founded the school, which had developed a whole generation of very good artists, he decided to start a class at the YMHA, which he did. And he moved there, took over a class there, and he left in charge of the art school that I was going to an artist named William Schogold. William Schogold was one of the best portrait painters ever developed in Pittsburgh. And he took over the art school. And to this day, I have my first drawing of a little vase. And I have a drawing, a line drawing of the Venus de Milo. And right next to that Venus de Milo, Schogold did his version of it to show me how it should be done. And it's very well done, except as far as I was concerned, I thought he emphasized the wrong things. He was emphasizing the shadows cast by the forms of the Venus, whereas my drawing was in line, in delicate line, and I actually liked my drawing more than his. But his theory was right, and that was to get the feeling of the movement and the structure of the figure. Now, being a portrait artist, painter, that's what he emphasized. And we would have children coming over, mostly boys and a few girls would be coming over from the main building to visit the art school, and he would put them to work as models. So for many years, I drew head studies, figure studies from the model, and I became very, very dependent on the model. In other words, it wasn't a chance of doing creative work because I was working right from what I saw. Well, if that had continued, that wouldn't have been very good. I probably would have developed into an excellent portrait painter, but I wouldn't have gone beyond that. Well, eventually, Mr. Schovel left, and Samuel Rosenberg brought a senior from Carnegie Tech, the Carnegie Tech Department of Fine Arts, and he put him in charge. His name was Armando Del Samudo. And Mr. Del
Samudo.
What?
Armando Del
Samudo. Cimmuto. An excellent teacher. His theory was he aimed us in a direction towards modern art, which we were totally unfamiliar with. The first modern artist I became acquainted with was Van Gogh. And of course, when I saw his work, you know, how exciting it was, and how colorful and so on, it thrilled me very much, and I became very influenced. Some of the other students in the school are well-known Pittsburgh artists. One is Gertrude Hatt, who has actually exhibited in the Group A abstract group, one of the original members, and exhibited in the International one year. Leonard Lieb, of course, was a student. A man named Glenn Davis isn't too well known today, but he had a lot to do with the formation of the what was then the Arts and Crafts Center. At the present time, he isn't active at all. He's still living, but he's not very active. I believe Louise Pershing might have been a student at one time. Marie Kelly, well-known Pittsburgh artist, came a few times and so on. There were some other names of students who you wouldn't know and who are no longer active today. Let me continue with this talk about Armando Del Samudo. Mr. Del Samudo, as I said, aimed us in a more creative direction than doing just portraits. Let me say, though, that I think doing the portraits helped me a lot to develop my skills as far as drawing, observing, and so on.
But how old were you by this time?
Well, I had been going to the art school about 2 or 3 years by that time. And, by the way, I went as often as I could. The art school was open from Monday through Thursday nights. And I went faithfully every night that I could. And I went for many years afterwards to the art school.
You went in conjunction with your Fifth Avenue High School attendance.
What?
You went in conjunction with your attendance at Fifth Avenue High School?
Well, I went all through the years of my, most of the years of my elementary school years, and through the high school years, except the first 2 years, I was so active and I had so much night work to do that I couldn't attend the art school, and I had to wait until the third and fourth year of my high school days to go back to the art school. Then when I graduated, I continued going.
Was there a charge for this?
There were charges, but they never emphasized. I don't believe that I paid anything at any time. You know, I mean, after all, the settlement was primarily for the poor people of the Hill, and they didn't push money. Sidney Teller, of course, was the head of the settlement art school. And fortunately, I don't think I could have afforded to pay anything because we were rather poor in those days. And but I was allowed to continue, even so.
When you graduated high school, what did you do?
Before I answer that completely, if you look over on the wall there, you'll see a self-portrait, a little self-portrait in tans and browns and so on. I had drawn many studies of heads and self-portraits of myself. And 1 year at home, around that period, I did a little self-portrait in colored pencil, looking down at the my face, and to this day I still have that drawing, that original drawing. I took that drawing into the art class, and actually I took art as an elective in high school, and my teacher was named Miss Speets, very nice woman who gave me complete freedom of expression.
Her name was
Speece, S-P-E-E-C-E. She allowed me, what I did was I brought in this piece of beaver board and my box of oil paints and brushes, and I proceeded to do an oil version of off of that self-portrait. She, when it was finished, she put a mat on it and entered it into the Scholastic contest. The Scholastic was a monthly magazine for high school students distributed all over the country. And this annual contest was a contest of paintings, essays, poetry, and so on. And it was nationwide, and that she entered that in that contest, and it took the first prize. The first prize was $150, which in 1929 was when I did that was a fortune for me. And it was reproduced in color in the magazine, which I still have today. It was reproduced in black and white in the Carnegie magazine. And Harvey Gall was the critic on the Post-Gazette, gave it a very nice mention in the Post-Gazette. So that's the story of that. I was lucky to hang on to it, and I had it framed, naturally. I reframed it and so on. And this was part of my one-man show at the Jewish Community Center. It was painted in 1929, my very first oil. Okay. What else can I tell you?
Yeah. After high school, what did you do? Where did you turn professionally?
Well, when I graduated from high school, that's when our home finally disbanded. My sister Julia and Rose, particularly my sister Julia, wanted to get married, and she was one of the mainstays of the family, keeping it going along with my father and my other sister. But it meant that the home had to break up, and we were all on our own. The others married, I didn't. But I, this was 1930, the very heart of the Depression, very beginning of it. And my sister Julia had a good friend named Zirpel Pittler. Zirpel Pittler was a wonderful social worker, and he was a member of the Big Brothers Club of Pittsburgh, and he got me in touch because he knew that I had done artwork and taken this prize. He got in touch with Richard Rao, who's the son of Enoch Rao, and whose son is connected with the Pittsburgh Playhouse today. I went to Mr. Rao's business, which was right across from Forbes Field. It was a lithographer's business. And he arranged a job for me with the Pitt Studios, a commercial art studio, as an apprentice. Naturally, I wasn't a commercial artist. I hadn't any training in that. But I went to them, and I did whatever I could for them. I delivered work. Whatever they asked me to do, I did. There were two other fellows also doing the same thing. My heart wasn't really in commercial art. My heart was more in the fine arts, which I had been developing. So after about a year, they realized that I would never become an advertising commercial art, and I was let go. Well, then there were other things that happened. What happened then was that, of course, this was 1932.
May I just ask, you said that your home broke up.
What?
You said your home broke up.
Yes.
Everybody was on their own. Where was your father?
He also was on his own. He lived separately.
You did not live with your father.
For a short period, my brother and I, and he lived together. But that broke up too eventually. And we were all really on our own completely.
Where did you live then?
I lived in that same vicinity, uptown, in the uptown area. After I left the Pitt Studios, I went back to Mr. Pittler because in the Depression, as you well know, there were no jobs, period. And I had to go to him for help. And he had a relative named Pittler, who was the manager of the Concordia Club, which is still in existence today. The club, of course, its main membership are wealthy Germans of Pittsburgh. And I got a job, a menial job, as check boy. In other words, I check clothes, I type menus, anything that I was asked to do, I did. Mop floors, washed walls, whatever, anything to survive. I worked there for 5 years. I lived there, actually, in one of the members. There were rooms upstairs where the members could live if they wanted to. Actually, at that time, there was only one member living there. So I was assigned one of their rooms. And I lived there for 5 years and took that job, worked that job for 5 years. After 5 years, I thought it was time to leave.
Were you still going up to the art lessons?
I was still going to the art school at the time. That's right.
And was Mr. Del Simuto still teaching there?
Yes, he was still teaching there. Actually, one of the members had heard that I do artwork, and he asked me to do some decorations for the lunchroom area, which I did. And he offered me a scholarship to Carnegie Tech, which is now, of course,
Carnegie Mellon.
And I did the decorations on the wall. And I had been going to the art school for so many years that I wasn't really interested in a degree. I should have been, but I wasn't. I wanted to further my training, and I didn't want to start at Carnegie Tech with a first semester. I thought, well, I was beyond that. So I went to see the director of the Carnegie Tech Art School, a man named Mr. Radio, and I very boldly said, I would really like to come to Carnegie Tech to increase my skills in art, but I don't want a degree particularly. Can I start in perhaps the second year? He says, no. He says, absolutely not. You have to start right from the first year. So that was the end of that education, but I still continued going to the Settlement Art School. Now where am I?
After your years at
after your 5 years at Concordia.
Oh yes, after the fifth year, my sister Julia's husband got a summer scholarship to Columbia University in New York, and he and the family, his wife and child son, settled. Got an apartment on Rockaway, at Rockaway, Long Island. And I thought, well, I'm leaving. He was going to continue his, live in New York and continue his scholarship at Juilliard, or at Columbia. And I decided, and my sister and my nephew were staying at Rockaway, and I decided to go there with them, spend the summer with them. And which I did, and I enjoyed it very much, naturally being near the ocean, so on. But in September, my brother-in-law had to go back to Pittsburgh to his job of violin teaching in the schools, and I went into New York. The family went home also, I got a room in New York, and I was hoping to go to the Art Students League, which was one of the best art schools in New York. It's still in existence. I had enough money saved up from that previous job to support me for at least a year. I had other friends there. Good friend of mine is Morris Kirschenbaum, who founded the school that I eventually taught in here in Pittsburgh, the Ivy School of Professional Art. He was taking classes at the Art Students League, and one day got me in as an observer. And there were other Pittsburgh people also living in New York, and I got in touch with them. I was in touch with them constantly. This little watercolor behind me here, yes, is a New York scene. Can you see it?
Yes.
See the elevated, which is hardly in existence. There may be one still in existence, but I did that from one of my friend's apartments, right, at night. It's a little night scene in New York. After the year was up, I was out of funds, so I had to come back to Pittsburgh.
You weren't able to find anything in New York?
I wasn't able to. This was 1936. There were absolutely no jobs whatsoever. So I had to come back. I think a friend of mine got me a little job doing some decorations for a nightclub, but didn't pan out too well. But
end of side one, take one. Continued on side two.
I was struggling.